Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, our Friday, June 7th edition 2013. This is the week that we begin our third year here on KVOI. Hope you are with us today. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a great weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you very much for choosing our program. We're live Monday through Friday at noon on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Intelligent Voice. We're streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And the program is podcast, which means it makes it very easy for you to listen to the show on your schedule at buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. All have the program available for you. Friday, we bring in a Tucson area newsmaker. Today, it's Richard Miranda. Mr. Miranda is the city manager for the city of Tucson. Richard Miranda is a longtime city employee. His service includes a stint as Tucson's police chief. If you have a question or comment for Mr. Miranda, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Joining me in studio to question Richard Miranda is Sarah Garrett Gasson. Sarah, editorial writer and columnist. Her column appears every Thursday in the Arizona Daily Star. First of all, ladies first. Sarah, good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Thank you for sitting in for me a week or so ago on the show. Actually, you did double duty while I was enjoying the beach over in Central California.
Happy to do it.
Thanks a lot, Sarah. Richard Miranda, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me.
How's the budget coming? Have we finalized the nearly 1.3 operating plan for the next fiscal year, which begins July 1st? Is that formally been approved, or is it just tentative at this point?
Well, it's tentative, but I think the formalization is going to come up in the next week or so. The end of the fiscal year is June 30th, and that the new budget will kick in on July 1st. But I think the only thing that we were waiting for was some last-minute details with the state legislation regarding the transition privilege tax, and we might make some adjustments with that. But I think for the most part, the budget is done.
No cuts in this budget? Service cuts?
Well, when we started the budget back in October, November, the mission was to not make any cuts that would impact services. We wanted to maintain the level of services we had in 2013, and I think that this budget does that. We don't see any service issues other than if there's some impact in terms of tasks or impact in terms of calls for service. But in terms of the budget, there are no cuts.
And we had the former mayor, George Miller, on the program. I think it was Wednesday. He was talking, actually, what prompted our visit with Mayor Miller was an op-ed piece in recently, I think it was maybe it was Sunday, in the Arizona Daily Star, where Mayor Miller believes we're kind of just kicking the can down the road because we are facing such huge issues in years to come that maybe those needed to be addressed in this budget.
Well, I think the issues that we are forecasting are going to occur in 2015 and 2016, and we have those forecastings on the radar. In working with the mayor and the council, we've been given instructions, meaning staff, to develop the strategies early on, and I've had conversations with the mayor even this week, and he wanted to start working on the matter real soon, as soon as possible. And I think that with a combined effort working with the mayor and council, the community, and other stakeholders, we can come to some remedies. But again, I think Mayor Miller was right in terms of there are some structural deficits that have to be worked on that have been kicked down the road for a number of years, not only the last couple of years, and that we need to work on. But we are seeing a 4% increase in our revenues, so the economy seems to be gradually picking up, but the cost to provide services to our community has gone up maybe 6-7%. So there is an imbalance there that we have to work on.
Here is Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
Could you update us on the status as of today on the El Rio Golf Course, Grand Canyon University situation? I know the neighborhood has spoken out against it. That isn't on the table anymore. But is Grand Canyon still looking at other places? What is the status as of today?
Well, as far as El Real goes, Grand Canyon College through TRIO has notified us that they are no longer interested in the El Real site. However, I think that they are still interested in coming to Tucson. They were very animate about that. They felt that the mutual benefit of them coming to Tucson, and not only in terms of economics, but enhancing the educational opportunities for our community, were there, and that they felt that the investment into our community was important. Again, talking with the mayor was going to reach out to the president of the university this week to determine where they're at and figure out where we're going to go from there. But I can say that Grand Canyon has told us that El Real is no longer on their agenda.
Can you take us back a bit into the process of how El Real came to be a parcel of land that, that Grand Canyon College was looking at? I've heard from some folks that it went back as far as January. Or can you kind of just give us the how we got to where we are today?
Well, what occurred was back in January, Grand Canyon had reached out to TRIO looking at coming to the Tucson area, in particular Pima County, and that Tucson was in competition with other cities in the Southwest for their expansion. At the table was the other communities within the region, Oro Valley and Sahuarita and ourselves and other areas from Pima County. And then TRIO went to work to look at different sites with them. They were looking for a particular size in the area in terms of acreage, which was very large, and different sites were presented to them. And during the course of that, sites within the city of Tucson, Oro Valley, and other areas were brought forward as finalists and looking at the properties that were available. And I think that them doing their due diligence, El Real came up in terms of being one of those areas. And from that, the vetting process went through and the due diligence was going on. And in terms of that, the communication to the community was put out. And that's where the advocacy for saving El Real as a golf course or open space came forward. And from then on, we understand that the decisions were made by Grand Canyon that they were pulling that off as one of their choices.
Is there any other entity, business, school, agency that is also looking at the El Real acreage, or is the matter settled for now?
I would say the matter is settled for now. I don't know of any other interest in El Real as a property other than golf. We do have an RFP process going on right now for the management of our golf courses to include one or all the golf courses. So that process is still in queue, and our procurement people are working through that. So the issue that came about on October 23rd of last year in terms of that motion is still on the table in terms of looking at golf and making sure it is running in the black, and that if there are golf courses or golf courses that are not running in the black, that some decisions need to be made in terms of keeping them open or not. So that whole issue of golf and open space is one that's still on the table, but I know of no entity that is interested in a building or using the golf course site at El Real.
Okay, coming up now on 12:14 on the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview. Richard Miranda is here. He is the city manager for the city of Tucson. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. We'd love to hear from you, 790-2040, 790-2040. Mr. Miranda would welcome your comments or questions. He'd be glad to take them. We're going to take our break right here, and we will be back with Richard Miranda.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Road. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polifchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cunada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's coming up now on 12:19. It's our Friday Focus interview today with Richard Miranda, Tucson City Manager. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. Mr. Miranda, a week or so ago, we had community activist, I guess you could call Mr. Kromko that, former state legislator John Kromko, who is busily gathering signatures to try to put to a vote on the city election, actually in November, I think, is when he would like to get this on there, that in effect will ask the citizens of Tucson, if it makes the ballot, whether or not they want to continue with red light cameras at our intersections. And meanwhile, I know that the contract, the current contract that the city has with the operator of the red light cameras is coming up in August. You're the former police chief. From a safety point of view, what do you say about the red light cameras?
Well, from my experience as a police officer and a police chief, I think that we need to do everything we can to make our streets safe, whether it's through education, enforcement, or technology. When I was a police chief, during my tenure, we had a period of time where we were suffering through a number of traffic fatalities, particularly at intersections, and I was brought up before the mayor and council and given instructions to provide some strategies that would reduce the number of fatalities and injuries that were occurring on our streets. And we worked through that, again, through education, strengthen our enforcement opportunities by enhancing our traffic enforcement division. And then we came up with the issues of technology respective to speed cameras and red light cameras. And through that, we are where we're at today, respective to the technology being used with the red light cameras and our mobile vans that we put on the street to use for speed enforcement. So from my perspective, and having seen the tragedies and the change in life that these accidents can occur, I think we need to do everything we can to reduce that the probability of someone getting hurt or killed in our streets.
So you would go for a renewal at this point? The council seems to be moving toward the renewal. Is that the movement?
Well, that would be my recommendation to the mayor and council. Again, I've experienced it firsthand. I've seen it firsthand. And I think that, again, supporting any kind of initiative that we can to reduce the tragedies that occur on our street through traffic fatalities or injuries is an optimum remedy that we need to take.
Here's Sarah Garrett-Gasson on the Star.
The Star ran a piece earlier this week about efforts to beautify or upgrade or even just do some basic maintenance on South 12th Avenue.
Yes.
And which I have to say is home to one of my favorite bakeries, L'Astre Bakery. Mm-hmm. Their empanadas are fabulous.
How are their donuts?
Oh, they are spectacular. And great. They're giant. They're like, anyway.
12th and Irvington.
Yes. That stretch of Tucson, I think, is a place that not a lot of people, if you live elsewhere in the city, unless you have a specific reason to go, it's not like Speedway where you're going to drive by it to get to someplace else.
It's more of a destination.
Yes. Yes, it is. And conveniently on my way to work.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about what the plans are, what the city's hope is for that stretch, and what we might expect in increasing its visibility and access to the rest of the city?
Well, recently, Council Member Romero took a number of people on a tour of 12th Avenue and the South Side area. And fortunately for me, I was able to guide them through that area because I grew up at 12th and Valencia. And I know the neighborhoods very, very well because that was home for me for a long time. And I'm a proud Sunnyside High School graduate, Blue Devil. So for me to see the transformation that's gone on 12th Avenue, 6th Avenue, South Side, is one that has great memories for me. So I understand the beauty of the neighborhood and beauty of the avenue. So for us to go forward and take a look at how can we enhance the quality of life in that community is an opportunity for us as a community, not only with the city of Tucson, but the county, because I know that the county is very interested in providing strategies to do that is very important. And we're going to have to look at alternative funding sources to do that, whether they're bonds or going out for grants or looking at other outside funding sources to do that, and couple that with what we have in-house is an important factor to me, because as we grow as a community, there are different neighborhoods, there are different issues that the neighborhoods face, and we take them one at a time. But I think the advocacy for 12th Avenue in terms of making it a cultural corridor is one that is important for us as an overall community and as being a former South Sider and loving that side of town as much as I do. I'm very interested in making sure that we do the right thing down there.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, I was going to ask about something that was in today's paper. The headline, $10,000 restitution and $100,000 city theft case. As a taxpayer, I would imagine that a lot of folks are seeing the headline and thinking, what are we doing in terms of these city employees also are facing jail time, but they basically use taxpayer money for their own benefit and their own businesses from the transportation department. And now when all is said and done, they pay $5,000 apiece when the taxpayers have shelled out for their leave time for all sorts of other stuff. So I just want to get, as city manager, what's your response to how this has played out?
Well, I think my response is multifaceted. When you look at the issues that deal with the judicial system, and having been through that a number of times, I think that we have to understand that there is a respect that has to be amplified for the processes that go in to that system, and I still hold that respect, irrespective of what the decisions are, whether I agree with them or not. I'm going to communicate that it's my feeling that we have to respect what happens in the judicial process. In terms of what's going on within the city and the taxpayer dollars, I think it's very important that we have processes and controls in place that assure that tax dollars are being spent. And I understand that there is a great scrutiny that goes on in terms of how we do spend those valuable resources. And that's why when we get into the road recovery restoration program that's going on with Proposition 409, that we have great oversight with that. And we have a bond oversight committee that's watching the dollars and cents and make sure they get spent right. But I think it's incumbent on myself and the rest of my staff to make sure that the community understands that we are putting those controls in place, those processes in place, to make sure that the tax dollars are being spent in the best possible fashion.
The RTA project downtown, when are you looking for that to be finished?
Well, the RTA project, meaning the streetcar.
Meaning the streetcar.
The streetcar.
Yes, the modern streetcar.
The modern streetcar project, in terms of the construction, we are hopefully going to get through with removing the barricades and the dirt and all that kind of stuff by the end of June so that we can have our 4th of July celebration without any kind of detours. We'll still be working on the electrical lines. The streetcar itself is under construction, manufacturing in Portland, Oregon, with Oregon Iron Works. We're hopefully going to get our first car to test in August, and then after that they'll come in an incremental phase, and we're looking at a startup date of July of 2014.
How about the road work? How much road work is in this budget, this current budget for the fiscal year? How much money is available?
Well, with Proposition 409, we are on a five-year schedule that will spend $20 million a year to do that road recovery. This past year for 2013, and you're seeing Speedway being paved and Broadway and all the other streets, we had $20 million for last year. So the amount that we are budgeting for the next 5 years is $20 million a year, and then 85% are going to go to our arterial streets, and we're going to save 15% for residential streets.
Quick question, Sarah.
I just wanted to ask about we were downtown. My husband and I were downtown last night, and the place has totally changed. It's very alive, vibrant, filled with young people. As someone who's been in Tucson for a very long time, do you think it's still Tucson? Is the vibe still Tucson to you?
Well, having grown up and gone downtown when I was a kid, when it was really the place to be, I think that we're seeing that come back. It is a different type of music. Has different type of venues, but the number of people we're seeing downtown, and enjoying the ambience of what's going on is something that I remember as a kid. I'd like to see some more retail. I'd like to see some hotels and those kinds of things coming on, but we're working on that, and I think downtown is the place to be right now.
Okay, Richard Miranda, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for the Friday Focus interview. Sarah Garrett-Gasson sticks around for our Friday Reporters Roundtable. We'll be joined on the live line by Mari Herreras, who covers education, among other things, for the Tucson Weekly. That's coming up. SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama is assuring Americans that no one is listening to your phone calls. The president defending the collection of millions of phone records in the U.S. and the monitoring of some internet activity overseas through U.S. internet companies. Senator Rand Paul, meanwhile, has introduced a bill that would require a warrant before any government agency could search the phone records of Americans. Revelations that the U.S. government has been snooping on internet users worldwide isn't shocking people overseas. Many say they've already given up on expectations of online privacy. Pakistani intelligence officials say a suspected U.S. drone strike has killed seven militants near the Afghan border. The Dow up 168 points. The Nasdaq is ahead 38. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
This is Ed Alexander at the Eegee's at 2470 North Campbell, just north of Grant. And we'll be here till 1 o'clock this afternoon with the Wheel of Prices. And all this month, all 23 area Eegee's are offering their annual coupon card, where for just $7, you get $72 in savings for the year ahead. Eegee's is famous for the refreshing fruit-flavored ices, hearty grinders, sandwiches, salads, fries. You know, the regular, the chili fries, the ranch, and pizza fries. You know you could use an ice-cold Eegee's right now on this 105-degree day. When you purchase a $7 coupon card, you'll be helping Eegee's to help the Pio Decimo Center for families and children and youth on their own, supporting homeless youth through assistance and guidance to graduate high school and beyond. Last year, Eegee's donated over $240,000 to SACASA, the Southern Arizona Center Against Sexual Abuse. So get to any Eegee's this month. Look for us next week at the Eegee's at Golf Links in Kolb. But if you can, join us till 1 today at the Eegee's on Campbell, just north of Grant. Make mine an Eegee.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:35 on this Friday afternoon. Every Friday here on Buckmaster, we do our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists who are kind enough to give us a few minutes to talk about the news and the week's top stories. Joining me in the studio on the Friday Reporters Roundtable, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist, who her column appears every Thursday in the Arizona Daily Star. And Mari Herreras is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Mari, staff writer for the Tucson Weekly, who covers, among other things, the education beat. If you have a question or comment, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. Mari, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well. Thanks for being with us. And Sarah,
thank you for sticking
around after our interview with Richard Miranda. I want to begin with the state legislature. Sarah, as you know, I was predicting that a couple of months ago that I did not think that there would be a budget before, or if there was going to be one, it would be right at the start of the new fiscal year. And we're going in that direction, aren't we?
You called it, Bill. Yes, after the Medicaid expansion, which Governor Jim Brewer had been pushing quite forcefully, made it through the Senate. Finally, she decided to stop taking any bills, saying, no, we're not going to deal with that until we deal with the budget, which is dealing with Medicaid expansion. And finally, Andy Tobin over in the State House said, okay, fine, well, I'm not going to object to it anymore. But now we have groups and other people supporting an effort to try to get it on the ballot, which would really complicate things if the voters passed it or declined it. There would be ramifications that we couldn't even think about or, you know, unwind at this point to really know how it would play out.
The expansion, from what I understand, if the ballot measure, either way, the expansion, Medicaid expansion, could not take effect while that ballot measure was still before the voters.
Right.
So it could really screw up the budget process.
Absolutely, not to mention the people's lives. Yeah, and interestingly, there have been some national press pieces like on Salon.com and kind of talking about how Governor Jan Brewer, who is a Republican, is now persona non grata among her own party for her support for the Medicaid expansion. And say what you will about her, she's a practical woman. She understands the millions of dollars attached to this, not to mention the ramifications of not covering people with health care insurance.
So it goes on and on. Mari, you want to weigh in on this?
You know, not much more to say. Sarah's, on it. I think that it's just interesting in terms of how there has been, though, a definite change in attitude in terms of taking those federal dollars. And I think we've talked about it in previous shows, you know, how much hospitals were going to be affected, especially in rural communities. And I think they stepped up to really put on the pressure and lobby in an effort to make folks see the importance of this change.
Mari, the TUSD board is now looking at some of the hopefuls. I believe they were, they had quite a few resumes. 67 resumes were submitted. 53% of those people from with current or past ties to TUSD or Arizona. What's the process now? Give us a little overview on the process.
Well, this Saturday, the board is going to be getting together to meet to discuss the 10 candidates that they've whittled down, and they're hoping to get that 10 down to between 2 to 3 candidates and then present those to the community, have community forums. I've talked to a couple of board members that are really interested in making sure that those forums are, you know, available, that the community, they're well attended by the community, and that there are some good questions asked. I think, the board as a governing body are kind of limited in what questions it can ask. And so some feel really strongly that it's going to be up to the community to kind of come in and ask those other questions that they're just not able to do.
Mari Herreras with us on the Buckmaster Show live line on our Friday Reporters Roundtable, and Sarah Garrett-Gasson joining me in studio. Sarah, it's the TUSD needs to really hit a home run on this one. I think that's an understatement.
I agree with you. That is an understatement. And they have an interesting choice to make with so many applicants from within TUSD or, you know, have local ties one way or the other. It goes down to TUSD has experience in both camps. They have brought in superintendents who were either assistants or associates and sort of became interims and then became permanent, like Roger Pfeiffer, or they have candidates like Liz Solania Fagan, who came in and from out of town, wasn't known.
Different culture. Educational culture.
And had a different philosophy, and she lasted, I don't think, even 2 years.
Yeah, I think it was shy of 2 years, but about 3 months, I recall.
So she has, I mean, TUSD has experience with both, and then we're just coming out of the administration of John Petticone, who very well respected in educator circles and in many parts of the community, but his experience was from Flowing Wells and with U of A, and so it's an entirely different culture, an entirely different system. So I'm really curious to see if the board looks to their past decisions, you know, as an entity, not these specific people, to give them guidance, and if so, what guidance do they take from their previous decisions?
Do you go outside the district or do you stay inside? Mari, any thoughts on that?
I don't know. I think the board is really going to have to. This is a test. I mean, this really is a test that the board is going to be able to work together. I mean, I think right now there's concerns internally within the board about trust and the fact that there are board members that leak information out to media or to people, certain political circles. And so there's kind of a feeling of distrust amongst the board, and that's limiting how they can go about doing certain things like the search process and stuff, and how much of that can be made public, or how much they feel that they can have certain internal discussions without stuff going out and becoming politically factioning. This is a test for the board and who we get next. But it's also a test for the community who, you know, they're going to come out and they're going to be part of these forums. And in being part of those forums, I mean, and who we get, are they going to support who is the community going to support at this point? And are they going to be ready to throw that support behind a good candidate that we really need right now?
And I wanted to encourage people to please come out for those community forums when they're scheduled, because there are so many tens of thousands of people who have kids in the Tucson Unified School District who aren't involved on a broader scale. Maybe they're involved
people
in their...
People complain about TUSD. Right. Well, this is an opportunity to maybe have a voice in who's going to be leading the district.
Right. And we have, reliable community members who we know that will come out no matter what. But we really need to broaden that. And there's no way to I don't think it's fair to fault the board if people aren't willing to come out and spend their time vetting the candidates as well.
Mari, is it? I was looking. I have your article from the Tucson Weekly in front of me about the TUSD, their current budget proposal, and this has to be approved by a U.S. District Court judge because of TUSD's desegregation plan, which goes back what to 1979 and something like that, right?
Yeah, even prior to 1979, it's almost a 40-year-old. DSEG lawsuit that the district has revisited on and off. The budget for the DSEG plan specifically is what's going before Judge David Bury, and I understand that a decision is expected any day now. And it's beyond just the budget itself. It's also specific things within the budget and how it's presented to the public and to folks involved in the DSEG, the African-American plaintiffs and the Mexican-American plaintiffs, regarding everything from transportation to going back to Mexican-American studies and how specifically the special master said there needs to be two jobs. One is a director for multicultural curriculum, and the other is a director for culturally relevant curriculum. And that culturally relevant CRC, those are the jobs of that's the classes of Mexican American studies and African American studies classes that are outlined in the current DSEG plan.
All right. I want to switch gears here. We've got less than 5 minutes, and I want to point out that I thought there was an excellent editorial, Sarah, with you and your staff, Time to Stop Moping About Tucson's Economy. This was from June the 5th, a couple of days ago. It basically, the editorial was reacting to a speaker who was brought in. I don't know if he's from Albuquerque or where it is. The Tucson Chamber brought this speaker in. He's the author of a book, When Baby Boomers Bail Out, A Community Economic Survival Guide. Basically, he says there are winners and loser towns, and we're like a loser town.
Yeah, way to be awesome. I sometimes wonder, I mean, there is definitely hazards in being a Pollyanna, but no one will ever accuse Tucson of being Pollyanna-ish to some degree. It's like we all want to wear our hair shirts and go parading outside in the 106-degree heat.
And beat ourselves on the back with a whip.
Right. I think there's a dose of reality that we need to keep in mind with, you know, plans don't turn out as planned a lot of times. But also, I mean, we don't want to be Debbie Downer in terms of you know, being like the total drag at the party who just no one wants to
we
talk to.
We know the economy's bad.
Right. Yeah. So what are we doing to fix it? Rather than instead of talking about how horrendous we are, because people pick up on that, we get a national reputation. Let's talk about, you know, things that are working, how to make things better. And I think that sort of attitude, tempered reality with, you know, kind of a positive outlook is something that Tucson would benefit from.
Yeah, what do you think, Mari?
I love that. I love the editorial. I thought it was just so right on. And I mean, you know, there's that part of us, though, that as Tucsonans who really like, we don't want to, Loserville is not necessarily that, but we don't like to let go of our roots as this kind of gravel lot town either, you know, that tends to get covered up by these glamorous infill projects that are good for the economy, they're good for Tucson, but some of us like to kind of hang on to those other roots too. But there's no doubt. I mean, I love Tucson. Tucson's my hometown. It's not Loserville. I'd like to, you know, next time we decide to, you know, bring someone like that into town to speak, could we have like a meeting, convene together, kick the guy out. I don't know, something like that would be, you know, totally appropriate.
Take him to the bakery that Sarah was talking about.
Yeah, Australia Bakery. Yeah, we're kind of like the Charlie Brown of municipalities.
It's interesting because Marshall Vest, the UA economy, the next day in the Star, there was a write-up about what Marshall had said at his mid-year economic forecast. And even Marshall echoed. He said, we need to stop beating ourselves up with these gloomy outlooks for Tucson.
And I think he's right. Although we don't, I mean, I think part of it is one way to keep Tucson special, and I don't know if this is a conscious, anyone thinks this consciously, but it's kind of, you know, you don't want, like Mario, like you were saying, you don't want everything to be a strip mall, everything to look like every other place. We want to keep Tucson special. And I guess maybe one way to do that is to put out the image that no one else will want to come here.
Right.
But I think that we need to be not rah-rah positive, everything's great, but realistic. And that goes for the good and the bad.
Well, right. He came to town, and I'm sure he collected a nice paycheck for his Winnersville's and Losersville analogy.
Yeah, why can't we just be Whoville?
Mari, thank you very much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show Liveline. And Sarah, thanks a lot to you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks.
Thanks. Take care, Bill.
Okay.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Row. Everybody who's anybody is here, aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. And we're twisting and shouting out by the pool. That music signals the weekend on the Buckmaster Show. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City, Grand County, New Mexico. Are you looking for a cool weekend getaway where the temperature will be at least 15 degrees cooler than southern Arizona and the Tucson area this weekend? How about a trip over to Silver City, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson? Experience the solitude of the Gila, the nation's first wilderness area, and visit Silver City's historic downtown, one of America's top 100 arts communities. Many great places to stay in Silver City, including Lake Roberts Motel, Casitas de Gila guest houses, and Continental Divide RV Park. And you can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Time to welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist, and award-winning Tucson publicist, Matt Russell, who is back from Maui, but he still has his Hawaiian shirt on, trying to recapture some of those wonderful memories. I saw some of the pictures on Facebook. That rainbow was just too much, Matt Russell.
Absolutely spectacular, and I still can't figure out how to take off the grass skirt. I've tried, and I've tried, but it just won't come off. But I tell you, 15 degrees cooler than Tucson over in Silver City sounds beautiful this weekend.
Yeah, it's a great weekend getaway. And I'm sure you look, some people probably did a double take when you wore the grass skirt on the flight home. That was a little bit over the top, Matt Russell.
Yeah. Don't get me going on the coconut bra either, Bill, but that's for another story.
Those who love jazz, and many of us do, really look forward to the summer jazz concert series, don't we?
Yeah, it's a great way, Bill, to kick off another great weekend in Tucson. It's at Main Gate Square there on University between Park and Euclid. They call it Friday Night Live, and it starts tonight at 7 o'clock tonight. Domingo de Gracia is going to be kicking out some great Spanish and flamenco tunes on his guitar with his renowned band, and you can enjoy it all for free under the stars in Geronimo Plaza. Now, Bill, when I'm down at Main Gate Square, I like to grab a bag of sandwiches from Eta Pita and take them over to the park, and I think their gyros would be a nice compliment to the music tonight. What a great way to spend a Friday night.
It is a good way to start a great Tucson weekend. And then when Saturday arrives, maybe folks would like to get a little bit of the beer tasting under their belts.
Imagine that. Yeah, tomorrow at 5 o'clock at the Cup Cafe down at the Hotel Congress, they're going to be featuring a beer tasting with a selection of suds from Samuel Smith's Brewery over there in England. And Bill, they've been brewing beer there since 1758. So you're going to have a chance to taste five of their top sellers and have that all paired up with some great food from the Cup Cafe's kitchen for only $20. So wonderful beer from Yorkshire, some great food, and that great setting of the Hotel Congress is going to make this a spectacular Saturday night.
It is summertime in Tucson, and that means the Tucson Original Restaurant Group, they put together their wonderful summer menus.
Yeah, they got sizzling summer specials all summer long for only $20.13. And my pick this week, Bill, is Bluefin over there on Ina and Oracle. And Chef Murphy and the team are serving up a 1-pound Maine lobster with drawn butter and rice and coleslaw, all for just $20.13. Now through Labor Day, so get over to Bluefin this weekend for some succulent lobster and support our delicious local restaurants. Of course, all of the summer specials are at TucsonOriginals.com.
Thank you so much, Matt Russell. Hope you have a fantastic weekend.
Great to be back, Bill. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan. All of our in-studio guests are provided with a bottle of Culligan water. Culligan offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Folks, what is it about Culligan water that simply tastes so good? Well, that's it. It tastes better. So get yourself a Culligan water. Coming up this afternoon, John C. Scott from 3 to 5 here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Monday, it will be Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe. And then all of the expert talk begins here on the weekend, really at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Phil Cedar with all his gardening tips. We need some good tips in this very hot weather. The Bill Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt, the best producer a guy could ever ask for, and our newest team member, Bob Richardson, with sales. We wish you a wonderful weekend. Have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.